Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I really shouldn't say this, but I overheard something during the children's sermon from the choir. Myra said, "What is the difference between me and Dennis?" And someone mumbled, "Dennis stopped dyeing his hair." Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but I probably shouldn't have said that. But today's sermon is going to be around grace, and I ask for it for myself as well. There's a story about a man who was trying to work his way into heaven. Now, work his way in. And when he died, as it always goes in these stories, he met St. Peter at the gate. And Peter said, "Okay, that'll be 1,000 points to get into heaven." And he said, "1,000 points? Okay, I tithed all my life." Peter said, "Good. 25 points. He said, "Is that all?" "And I taught Sunday school all my life." And Peter said, "25 more points." And the man said, "Oh my goodness." And then he said, "Well, wait a minute. I worked 10 different Salkahatchee home repair camps. How about that?" And he said, "Okay, 25 more points." He said, "Wow." He said, "All right, well, I did freely witness to all my friends about my faith." And Peter said, "That brings you up to 100 points. He said, "Only 100 points? I need 900 more points. The only way I'm going to get into here is by the grace of God." Peter said, "That's 1,000 points. Come right on in." None of us really step over the line into complete faith unless and until we see our need for God's grace. It's not about proper ritual or the proper amount of water or precisely proper words. It is the grace of God. You need it. I need it. God has offered it in Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking this way because recently, just a few weeks ago, a member of Main Street told me about an unpleasant situation she had. She was accosted, I can't think of a better word for it, in a hospital, not here but out of town, by a group of women who asked accusingly, "Have you been born again?" And she said, "Well, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have been baptized." And I said, "Well, now wait a minute, how were you baptized?" And they explained to her that she had not been baptized with enough water, and if she couldn't name the time and the place that she became a Christian, then they were absolutely certain that she was not a Christian. I want you to look again, and you can pull out the pew Bibles if you'd like, at John 3. Let's look together at what Jesus said and who he said it to. Who was Jesus talking to when he said what is commonly translated as "you must be born again"? But in this new RSV said "you must be born from above," which is actually the preferred translation. Well, he was talking to Nicodemus. Now, did he say that to the disciples? I don't think so. I think he just told them, "Follow me," and they did. Did he say "you must be born again" to the woman in the later in the Gospel of John who was caught in the very act of adultery? No, as I remember, he said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Did he say "you must be born again" to the rich young ruler? No, I think he said to him, "Go and sell what you have and give the money to the poor, and then come follow me." The night Jesus said what he said, he was talking to a particular man, and he said a peculiar thing. Now, it applies to us, but not in such a black and white, cut and dry way as we sometimes hear. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and did you know that the name Nicodemus means superior? You see, he was on the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. And he heard Jesus wrong because he could not fathom anyone suggesting that he, of all people, should change. Does that speak to any of us? Nicodemus was a superior. He was a leader. He was a PhD type, a lawyer, and he had power, and he had what seems to always come with power, money. Nicodemus came with his learning, his intellect, his status, and his power intact. And to this man, Jesus said, Nicodemus, someone like you is going to have to start all over from the top down in order to understand what I'm talking about. Nicodemus was above respectable, he thought. And here Jesus was telling him he needed a penthouse to basement redo. Start completely over and unlearn what he thought was important before he could even begin to understand the kingdom of God Jesus was preaching. Jesus was using a word that meant from the top down, from above, which had a little used alternative uncommon meaning of again. If you hit the commentaries, you will see that this is true. And I think that the tragic comedy of the encounter is that Nicodemus thought that he was already at the top, that he had already arrived, head and shoulders, millions in the bank, above everyone around him. The very fact that Nicodemus came at night so as not to risk his status, his power, and wealth speaks to how much he must have had to risk. He could not hear starting over. His brain would not allow him to hear starting over from above. He thought he was already above. He thought he was already spiritually elite. And so he went to the alternative meaning in his mind of born again, even though it was a biological impossibility. And in asking what he asked, he shows his misunderstanding to all ages. He said, can a man crawl inside his mother's womb and be born again? Of course not. And that is not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, you need to be spiritually reborn from above by the grace and the power of God's Holy Spirit. You are earthly minded. You are earthly empowered. You are earthly satisfied and smug. You need to start over from the top down, a top down spiritual rebirth. And you know, we don't know how long it took. Or if Nicodemus changed in any way that night, we know he left frustrated and confused. Nicodemus may have wandered off saying, born again. Born again. How can a grown man be born again? What utter nonsense. And he couldn't have meant a spiritual rebirth. After all, I am a spiritual leader. I have taken a public oath as a member of the Sanhedrin to obey every one of God's laws. How in the world could anyone be more spiritual than I am? No, that can't be what Jesus meant. But the other meaning is absurd. What was he talking about? And many of us may wonder the same. What is Jesus talking about? What are other people talking about when they ask us that question? Well, I'm not always sure what other people mean, but I do know what Jesus actually said. It was not simply born again. Jesus did not use that word. The word Jesus used was anathen in Greek, and it's only used 14 times in the Bible. It means from the top to the bottom, from the top down, or primarily from above. Not a feeling, not an action, not a physical thing, but something spiritual which comes from God. It is certainly not what Nicodemus misheard about his mother's womb. At some point later on, Nicodemus, his superior attitude and his head knowledge melted away, or rather his heart melted, as he considered how wrong-headed he had been. You see, he approached Jesus as a pupil in need of another teacher. And the way to approach Jesus is as a sinner in need of a Savior. Nicodemus, whose name means superior, at first thought he was okay and other people were sinners. But at some point, his pretense melted away and he came to see himself as one more sinner in need of a Savior. How long did this take? We don't know. How is your heart this morning? How is your soul? Where are you on this road? God knows and you know. I'm not sure any committee who accosts you at the hospital could possibly know. Maybe you do need a top-down, born-from-above experience, or maybe you melted to God's influence and Spirit a long time ago. Not everyone needed to be struck blind as the Apostle Paul was on the Damascus Road. Most of the disciples just followed, and they grew in their understanding and faith as they followed. Then finally, as we celebrated last week, they were filled with God's Holy Spirit as we celebrate at Pentecost. This I know. God is after us. And the work of salvation is not ours. It is God's work through His Holy Spirit. Open yourself to whatever God has in store for you. Don't let anything stand in the way of the God who created and is still creating. I don't know what kind of conversion Nicodemus had, but I know that he went from arrogant and superior to humble and finally was there helping. We find him later in the Gospel of John, helping prepare Jesus' body for burial. I'd say he had a spiritual awakening, and I would say also that it cost him his status and power and money and fame, but he gained everything. When his heart melted, or as John Wesley put it, it was strangely warmed, he apparently became a disciple, and it took him further to fall from superior down to the feet of Jesus. But there he is in John 19 with 100 pounds of spices to bury his master. Maybe he thought about it. Maybe he pondered it. But he finally got it. Jesus was not merely saying born again. He was specifically saying born from above, a top-down spiritual rebirth. And who can give such a birth except God alone? You know, I've thought about this before. If I had a time machine, or if any of us had a time machine, maybe you thought, if I could go back to birth or some other age early on and start my life over, just be reborn and start over, knowing what I know, I could do a better job. I really doubt that. I think that I would make the same mistakes or the same bad choices or at least equally bad choices all over again. To make my life new, it would take more than a second physical birth. It would take what Jesus was talking about, a top-down spiritual renewal, a regeneration, a new person inside and out. And I guess that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And Paul even said about himself, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so I experience my faith this way. I am being born again. I am being made new. I am becoming a new creation, and it is slow going. And not a bit of it has been my work, but God is changing me by the power and the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. And I want to borrow something I heard from another preacher down in the Low Country years ago. I thought this was wonderful, talking about faith and how God works with us and on us and through us over a lifetime. He said, "Thank God I'm not what I once was. And I confess, God, I am not what I should be. But by the grace of God, I'm not yet what I'm gonna be." God's grace will lead us home. God's grace will lead us home.